The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Open line on Man in Line today till 1 o'clock. Get in touch by calling 66 13 68. WhatsApp on 166 177. Same message number 166 177 or email studio at manxradio.com. Well, Isle of Man Energy, what we used to call Manx Gas, you heard in the news, say they're sorry. Company closed the customer counter in November 2023, saying it was adapting to changing needs. I love management speak, don't you? Now it's reverted to the decision before. After feedback, apparently, the counter reopened today. So well done, Managing Director Aidan Baglow, reacting to the customers. He said closing it was a mistake. So Manx Gas's, Isle of Man Energy's public counter is now open. The Education Minister says there are no plans to roll out these menu changes to secondary schools across the Isle of Man. Daphne Kane was giving evidence to the Social Affairs Policy Review Committee alongside Chief Officer Graham Kinraid. They told the panel that secondary schools on the Isle of Man are autonomous, and so a set menu can't be rolled out, but says that everything can be reviewed. What do you think? Do you think secondary schools would appreciate a fruit as pudding? Or anyway, any thoughts on that? And I mentioned that planning permission has been granted for a new supermarket in Port Erin. Co-op is developing on the site of the former funeral directors and the florists on Station Road, and there's going to be 6 tourist accommodation apartments and associated car parking. So it's a supermarket and tourist accommodation. So I got a message the other day about the fact that the co-op on the Isle of Man don't seem to be supporting Manx produce as well as other supermarkets. I don't know, what do you think about that? It was a comment, I'm just trying to remember who sent it. And here, who was it? Faye. Thank you, Faye. And she just said the co-op in, oh, this is Ramsey in particular, doesn't seem to be, apart from the creamery, there's not much Manx produce in the co-op. It is the Isle of Man co-op, isn't it? They don't seem to be supporting, and bearing in mind that survey that was done that said 6% of food on the Isle of Man is only produced in the Isle of Man, or only 6% of food that's consumed is produced on the, you would think the co-op, the caring, sharing co-op, would be straight onto that, don't you? Any thoughts? Right, let's have a look here. And this is somebody called Mr. Coops. Hello, Mr. Coops.
Hello, Andy.
Do you have a first name, by the way? We're very familiar in the Isle of Man. What's your first name?
Andrew.
Andrew, yes. What's on your mind, Andrew?
I'm hearing that I think she's a commissioner, is she, in the Ramsey? And she said something really nasty about someone, about burning in hell. I just wanted to express my absolute disgust at this person. And right. I hope she gets sacked, if she's not sacked already.
Okay. And where about you calling from?
Cambridgeshire.
Oh, good grief. I thought it was Ramsey in the north. No, you're not Ramsey in Cambridgeshire, are you?
Not far from there, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. But I'd just like to say, I mean, if I lived on the Isle of Man and I saw that woman down the street, I'd have a word with her. I really would do. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. That's all I've got to say, Andy.
All right. Well, thanks for that today. And let's get to, let me see here, John with us now. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. What's on your mind?
Andy, I've lived in Ramsey for 52 years, and I've said if Mrs. Shimmer at Ramsey Town Commissioners, how she's got on to the commissioners is through a voting system. What she said is nothing short of abhorrent and disgusting, making reference to that man that's been shot in America. He had 2 young children and a wife. Now, I hope Ramsey Town Commissioner's silence isn't what I think it is, and they're going to bury their hand in the sand. That lady needs to be dismissed with instantly, because she does not represent Ramsey. Well, she doesn't represent me anyways. It's such an abhorrent, disgusting comment to be made. It's absolutely terrible.
Yes, well, for new readers, start here. This was Elizabeth Shimmin. I think she's on Facebook as Lizzie Shimmin, has faced criticism following the death. Well, it's a post that she put on following the death of the American activist Charlie Kirk. What she said was that he should burn in hell, apparently, in response to a tribute that was put. Is that right?
Yeah, he was a great Christian man, and he stood for a lot of family, beliefs. I just can't believe, for the life of me, this lady has said that. And Ramsey Town Commissioner's silence speaks volumes. They need to move, and they need to move quickly.
Well, Sandra Cottam-Shea, who's the vice chair, said they're aware of matters and inquiries are ongoing and they're going to update us in due course. That was yesterday. It was 2:10 yesterday, so we've not heard anything from Ramsey commissioners yet. What would you expect?
To suspend her instantly pending an investigation. She represents the people of Ramsey. That comment doesn't represent me. She shall be formally sacked and dismissed this week. Well, okay, Andy.
All right. Go on. Thanks for your point today. Call 661368. Text or email as well. Regarding Castletown as well, short stay parking is going to return to Castletown Square at the end of this month. The area was pedestrianised over the summer. Hosting films and sporting events on the big screen there. It's very nice in the summer, but the consultation earlier this year asked the public what the future of Market Square should look like. Tony Brown, who is the chair of the Commissioners' Course, former MHK, long-time MHK, former Chief Minister, says that convenient parking is very important. Convenient parking in Castletown is important, and I just wonder what your thoughts are. He says they need to support shops in Castletown.
We started with the people who own the screen and provide it this summer. We asked them to put on children's films in the afternoons because, children do come here with parents. The square closed off in the summer is fantastic. I mean, everybody, vast majority of people, support that, and it really makes an attractive place
for
people to come.
You get quite a few people watching these films, the kids.
Absolutely. Right? And not just the kids' films. I mean, there's sports events on. They're all advertised by the people who do the films and stuff in conjunction with the commissioners, and the sports events, and they're all advertised so people can see what's going on, and then they can come to them if they want to.
Can I ask who's paying for this?
Well, the cost of the screen and everything is from the people who own it. There's no cost to the town on that. What Castletown does is pay for the connection to Sky TV so that we can broadcast, for example, live matches of football and rugby.
So it's coming from the commissioners, this?
Part of it. It's a joint partnership.
But is there a local developer who's actually putting some in as well?
Well, the local developer provides the screen and provides the staff to make it all work and to set it up and so on. And what we've said is that, you don't need to keep taking the screen away every time something's finished. You know, we work towards it being here permanently so that it can be used through the summer.
Now, the screen will not be here, but this arrangement is going on till the end of September?
Yeah, at the end of September, the square reopens to vehicles. The traffic order ceases to exist anymore, so the parking will come into here. It's not a through road, it's just a parking area. But it's an important parking area for getting people close to the shops. And it's short term.
That's Tony Brown talking about what's going to be happening now. Short stay car parking returning to Castletown Square at the end of this month. Pete dropped me a note in just to say, well, the very best of luck with that. It would seem that Castletown Town Centre is on life support, so I do hope this works. And a message in just said, again, more about the co-op in Port Erin. Let's hope they do start stocking a lot of Manx goods there. We'll see. I think they have got their own bakery, haven't they? Or an in-store bakery somewhere that's being used. Before anybody gets on and says VPNs, virtual private networks, are run by Russia and Chinese spies who are trying to hack your bank account, they're not. If you're in doubt, stick to the main VPN suppliers like NordVPN or Surfshark. Other ones are available. We've had our problems up north. We were talking about the Apache service, really, on fibre or on 3G, 4G. Is 5G here yet? We've all had our problems in the north, you can imagine, with MT Fibre. But as soon as we got a VPN, a virtual private network, it virtually vanished. If you run a speed test with that VPN, we got 98 megabits per second. Turn VPN on, 200 megabits per second from any UK location like Manchester or Liverpool. Funny, 200 a second without a problem for £30 a year with a VPN. It will cost you more with Manx Telecom if you upgrade. This is Dick who says, refers to fibre as old turkey. I'm sure it's not. Dear me. And also some comments yesterday regarding whistleblowers and the position of MHKs regarding whistleblowers and what part they play in the future. It was a message in from Marilyn who just said, but there are some vexatious whistleblowers, people who will take all the time in the world and suck all the resources from an organisation with vexatious claims. So not all whistleblowers are the best whistleblowers, says Marilyn. Why do Manx Care make staff undergo safeguarding and whistleblowing training, and then when you complain, you're shown the door, says Southern Andy. My daughter had exactly the same problems as Mark. It was Mark yesterday talking about patchy coverage from Manx Telecom, be it fibre, and he had problems getting his television on. Every time he then clicked on it, disconnected the internet. I think you have to go for the highest service option, says Alison. I've got no problem on the highest service, but I deal with domicilium, says Alison. Worth suggesting buying your own router, e.g. a Fritzbox. Didn't they used to supply Fritzboxes, the red ones? Also, when possible, use an RJ45 plug in the router. No, I don't know what it means either. To use direct Ethernet connection, at least twice the bandwidth, says JSM. What's an RJ45 plug when it's at home? Is there an election next year? The MHKs are coming out. Well, there is an election next year, and of course we'll be covering it, and everybody's got the right to be there. In fact, in the next few weeks, we'll be starting going out to the schools again, and we'll be talking to 16-year-olds. They will be voting. This time next year, they'll be voting. And by the way, when you do get the opportunity to upgrade your presence on the electoral roll, make sure you do. Regarding school meals, I challenge anybody to eat a tuna jacket potato without mayonnaise and enjoy it. It's very dry indeed. Is this true? Somebody said the other day they'd banned gravy and mayonnaise. Is this genuinely true, or are you winding me up? Is mayonnaise still available, and is gravy still available? My Manx Telecom on my mobile 4G is horrendous, says 249. I moved to Castletown recently. I can't get a signal in my house. My wife's on shore and she's got plenty of coverage. I'm having to hotspot off her phone until we get our Wi-Fi installed. That's 249. Any thoughts on that? There would have been a riot at my school in Barnsley in South Yorkshire if they took away the dinner time tomato sauce, says Alan. I live in Onken and my fibre works great even at the top of the hill. Thank you, James. 488. There are two memorials at the Manx Military and Aviation Museum to remember the Canadian and Polish pilots who lost their lives on the Isle of Man during the Second World War. That's Chris. Thank you, Chris. Again, we were talking, it was Battle of Britain Day yesterday. We were paying tribute to the brave pilots of the Royal Air Force. About Manx Telecom internet speeds, Ronnie in Cheshire, this is. Manx Telecom internet speeds, your listeners need to conduct a speed test between 8 and 10 p.m. Now, that's the busiest time for the internet. Isn't that because America's on it as well? With the test as close to the router as possible. If the speed is more than 25% lower than the promised speed from Manx Telecom, you have a consumer right to cancel your contract. Is that right? I live in Cheshire and there is a code of conduct as to internet speeds so as not to be missold. I've got a property on the Isle of Man and pound for pound, Starlink is miles better. I get over 200 megabits per second for £75 a month. Ronnie in Cheshire. So conduct a speed test between 8 and 10 tonight, that is, to test as close to the router as possible. If it's 25% lower than the promised speed from Manx Telecom, you have a consumer right to cancel your contract. That's Ronnie in Cheshire. You may want to check with the Office of Fair Trading. And Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. What it is, listened to yesterday with the telecom problems, etc.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if anybody else has had a similar problem to what I am subject to at the moment. Early on the year, I was in town, and I went into the Max Telecom shop, and I was thinking, change from ADSL to fibre. Okay, I've got a document here, was signed up, and that was on the 23rd of May. I still have no fibre. I've had no contact from Manx Telecom. One day I went into the shop again in town. He said, you're the only one that's made application in that area. So are they waiting for other people? So if they had to put conduits in, are they waiting for other people to make it financially viable before I can get my fibre? But listen to what the reports were yesterday. I don't think I might even stick to ADSL until it's mandatory, as they say. It's going to change anyway.
Yeah.
But I've not heard a word from Manx Telecom.
And when 23rd of May, did you say?
Yeah. I've got it here in front of me on my phone. It's a completed Manx Telecom. Your document has been, it's an email document where I signed up to have them come in, check the availability. We've already got the phones, we've got the cables in for ADSL and everything. So there must be some form of conduits coming down to this area. And one thing he did say, we've had to seek the council to get permission to come into your house. I checked with the town hall, no such thing. They'd never heard of anything from telecom, anything like that. So who is telling porkies? And why don't they want the business?
Well, that seems strange, doesn't it? You think they wanted to get you onto... Surely, I mean, it's not just about money. It's a better service for the customer.
Well, you'd think so, yeah. Well, I've had our house number since it was a four-digit number, which must be close on 50 years. And I've had all my mobile phone, the internet, the ADSL, and the landline are all with Manx Telecom. And they just don't seem to be bothered. But I believe, now I don't know, you'll correct me on this, they got themselves up for sale. So whether they're waiting and just keeping the pot boiling over, and then when they get their money, they'll be up and gone, and they'll be leaving a headache for the company that's coming in. I know it's one of these conspiracy theories, but there's always an element of truth behind these things. But why has it been 4 or 5 months before? I haven't even heard anything yet. Nobody's been in contact with me, and they've got my name, address, and, obviously my phone numbers.
Well, obviously, I mean, it says Manx on the bottle, but it's not Manx, of course, apart from serving the Isle of Man. This is a company called Basalt Investment. Are they paid, I think, £255 million for Manx Telecom in 2019? It's a private equity investor, so obviously private equity people just try and build up the assets and then obviously sell them on, and that's how they draw their profit from it. But of course, it's been ages since it's been anything like Manx, really. And going back to when it was obviously, I think originally it came under Liverpool, didn't it? When it was the post office.
Yeah, but you look around and look on the ground, and it does make sense. The lids, the hatches, the metal covers, concrete covers, they've all got BT on them. Which makes sense because they're a standard size. There's no point Manx Telecom just having a whole batch made. It'd be cost prohibitive. But BT, so that's where it goes to. The connection I've got in coming into the house here is Openreach. So they're buying off British Telecom, Openreach, or whatever it is. The equipment's coming in from them. It's standard equipment. And something I didn't know, because I've got the original router here, they said, you've stopped paying for your router now. That's yours. I said, I didn't know I was paying for it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, nobody had said a word, and I'd been paying for this router. And never told me. It was never informed when I got the system put in. But there was a charge on my bill for the router, for the ADSL. So... you know, they're very secretive. They're holding the card very close to the chest, not saying much.
But the thing is that fibre was supposed to be the be-all and end-all. You know, the 100% industrial strength, you can't bend it, it'll be absolutely fantastic. Brave New World. You would have thought everybody would be delighted with it now, and everybody, but lots of people seem to think it's not.
Well, that's what I was listening to your programme yesterday and listening to the number of people with the problems. I rang up not so long ago about mine, and there was 42 dropouts on the one day on my router. Okay, it's old. And they said, well, that's down to your router because it's in your house. That's your problem. We've tested the line through. And that's the attitude they seem to adopt.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's sad, really.
But the thing is, Howard, if they said right at the very beginning, when they put things like the router in, look, this is going to be obsolete within 2 years, 3 years, or whatever, and just so that you knew. You know, like when you get your boiler serviced, the engineer will put a note on saying needs to be serviced by this time next year. If they said that, but you know, most people aren't tech savvy or not that tech savvy.
No.
We don't
know
when the darn thing's going to fall over.
Well, there's my wife doesn't know the first thing about our boiler, which is not been disrespectful to her, but I don't. I've got an idea. If something goes wrong, I know who to get in contact with. But they just come in, do a job, and bang on. And this is why I admire, and I hope government, town halls, and commissioners, everyone, are listening to this, what you've just said on your programme earlier. Isle of Man Energy are now opening up their
public
inquiry desk. And I found them. We've been on gas for 30 years. And we used to go down now and again, and you could talk to the staff down there, and the problems, if you had any, would be rectified, sorted out within a very short period of time. Now you've got to go to Scotland. You've got a phone, and it goes through to Glasgow.
Yeah.
So, you're talking to somebody that doesn't know you, you don't know them, and you don't know the system.
Well, I think we need to say thank you to Aidan Baglow. I mean, Aidan's been at Manx Gas for forever, I think. He started there when
he was
about 12. And Aidan's obviously, you know, some managing director said, you know, they fessed up and said, look, let's open it and do what people want.
Well, congratulations to them, because let's hope, as I say, the rest of these government places or commissioners, town hall, anything like that, are listening to this, and they can bring back a face-to-face, because you can sort a problem out in a very short period of time instead of going the convoluted way and round in circles on emails. But, it'd be interesting to find out if anybody else has had problems getting fibre. As I say, this is a long time waiting for even to have any contact.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right, Howard, we appreciate that.
Okay, take care.
All right, good to hear from you. It's 29 minutes past 12. Dave, the grafter, apparently, said, I know three engineers who told me to stay on copper, VDSL copper connection, because they said, I don't know whether this is a technical term, Dave the grafter, they said it's pants. Well, I don't know either. Are they going to put, if they're going to put the wind farms up, says Rick, why don't they put them on the west coast? Since the winds are predominantly southwesterly to the Isle of Man, looking across to the UK, all the wind farms that we see are on the west coast. Well, there's lots on the east coast, but point taken. So why disturb the eastern side of the Isle of Man? Why not put them up on the west coast of the Isle of Man, says Rick. I wonder what your thoughts are. If we're going to have an offshore, is it really because it's closer to the wind farm in the Irish Sea? If the wind farm goes off the east coast, the Moel Vanin, it's going to be a lot closer to that wind farm there, and there's not really that many wind farms close to the west coast of the Isle of Man. There was, talking of Battle of Britain, there was a wonderful remembrance service commemorating the 85th anniversary of the Battle of Britain at St George's Church on Sunday, says Texter 570. I didn't know that, but thanks for reminding everybody. And there's also, says 535, an HMS Early plaque on the gatepost at the entrance to Janet's Corner. That's L on 535, talking yesterday about Second War and also the Battle of Britain. Regarding the Ramsay Commissioner Elizabeth Shimmin's Facebook comments that Charlie Kirk should burn in hell, it wasn't him. I think she was... I mean, you can see for yourself any real... and it's not that much to do with the Isle of Man, apart from the fact Lizzie Shimmin is a Ramsay Commissioner. It was in response to a tribute to the assassinated American activist, why I completely support her right to free speech, apart from showing a hypocritical disregard for others' free speech and spouting intolerant vitriol. This is inarguably conduct unbecoming of a public civil servant. Says Michael in the North. I hear the Newport Erin Co-op, and again, people asking, are they going to be having Manx stuff in it? The reason that we're not having the wind farm on the west of the Isle of Man, Desmond says, is because we don't want wind farms in the west. Now, come on, Desmond. Regarding fibre, didn't the Isle of Man government pay up front to Manx Telecom to connect Isle of Man households? Says Andy, well, to roll out fibre. They rolled it out. But remember, they do it up to the curtilage of your property. After that, it's down to you. Interesting, this programme on Manx Radio that I'd like to draw your attention to. It's called I Love Man.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
It's part of a podcast series where people talk about what they like about the Isle of Man, what it is that they love, and what they'd love other people to know about the place that they call home. Now, often people say on Man in Line, we only talk about negative stuff. Well, of course, that's not true. We talk about all sorts of stuff. People tend to remember the negative stuff, but we talk about positive aspects of the Isle of Man as well. So I'd like to draw your attention to this. It's tonight. It's at 5:30. Tonight's show includes highlights from interviews with Charles Gard, Graham Hall, Rowan Henthorne, Juan Christian as well. Take a listen.
One of the things that I'm super proud of the island and everybody that lives here and me being part of it as a Manx person is the community we have.
How would you describe it? I would say it's a little green jewel in the middle of a big blue sea. And it's just fabulous, isn't it?
I travel to a lot of places and I still think the Isle of Man is one of the most beautiful. It's a really, really special island, and especially underwater, it's magical.
Many stories of peculiar things happening on the Isle of Man, and our culture has arisen from that, and our legends and our language and our music is uniquely Manx. And for a tiny island of just now over 80,000 people, there aren't many places in the world that have what we've got.
When the summer day is over, it's busy guests have flown, I will sit beneath the starlight with a weary heart alone.
Down Scarlet, it just feels like you're walking on another planet sometimes with the lichens and, yeah, that harsh environment. I think that's my space. I love going to that coastal area, and our Radnofallen path is just, it's hard to find words for it really, but it's incredibly awe-inspiring, and I love seeing how it changes through the seasons.
If you walk from Glenchass all the way around there, you can get to Niarbal, or you pick any part of that section from the Sound all the way up through Fleshic, Conconeary, Latnabenya, the South Brawl. Honest to God, I think it's unmatched on the planet. When the sun's right and it's clear as a daisy and the heather's out and the gorse is out. We were cycling through, went to Lagnacilly a couple of weeks ago and seen a kite, like a red kite. It's just there. What a place we live in.
Juan Christian, that was. And before it, you heard Rowan Henthorne, Graham Hall and Charles Gardner. Here, much more tonight, Island Life with Beth at 5:30. You can find the I Love Man podcast at manxradio.com or wherever you get your podcast, wherever you listen to Manx Radio's Man in Line on the podcast. Many people do. That's I Love Man tonight, 5:30. What do you love most about the Isle of Man? The community? I love that saying, a green jewel in a blue sea. Our culture, our legends, our language, our music, Thank you. Also, they mentioned Scarlett. There's a live webcam. There are several live webcams at Scarlett as well. They are absolutely fantastic. Sarah dropped a note in just to say, I often have those webcams on when I'm in bed at night just to see the lighthouse. Fantastic. I love Man Tonight, 5:30.
At Holmes & Davidson Opticians in Douglas, we see more, so you can too. Our advanced eye examinations go beyond the standard checkup, using state-of-the-art Heidelberg 4D retinal imaging and Eidon ultrawide field technology to detect early signs of eye disease before symptoms even appear. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in eye health because your vision deserves more than average. Book your advanced eye exam today at Holmes & Davidson Douglas. Clarity, care, cutting edge technology.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
Dad, are you actually training this year?
Oh, yeah, no more pies for me.
It'll take more than that to beat me.
Laugh all you want, but I feel great. Mud is life.
So you're not falling in the mud again?
I bet he will.
You'll never let me forget that, will you?
Whether you're there to win, wobble, or just laugh yourself fit, on October the 5th, Tough Mucker is back and bigger than ever. Brought to you by I'll Listen and Island Escapes, supported by Manx Radio.
This Thursday on Manx Radio, join me, David Kinley, on Island Life for a series of programmes entitled New World, Old Ways, where we discuss the history, culture, folklore, superstitions and music of the Manx emigrees to the New World, the United States of America, and in particular, the Appalachian Mountains. I'll be talking to Dr. Chloe Woolley at Culture Vannon. That's Thursday evening at 5:30 here on Manx Radio, with a podcast available afterwards.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
22 minutes now before one. Alice is with us now. Hi, Alice.
Hello. Long time no speak.
I know. Where have you been?
Oh, you know, busy doing stuff out and about. Yeah, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, thanks now. It's a lovely day, isn't it?
It's great, yeah. Yeah, I've not... I've not been listening as much as I used to, but so apologies for that. I'm actually on to correct something that Julian said a couple of weeks ago, but wasn't factually correct.
Go on.
Not to slag him off, but it wasn't true. So he said very confidently that when the new gas power station at Paul Rose was installed, that Isle of Man greenhouse gas emissions fell by 74%, so practically three quarters-ish, and stayed down at that low level of, like, about a quarter of what they were before, all the way up till now. And that's not actually what happened. So the first thing I thought was, that doesn't make sense, because electric generation is only about 30% of total carbon emissions here. So even if there was, like, nothing coming from electric, you'd still have everyone driving around cars, burning diesel and petrol, and you'd still have all the home heating stuff. So it's like, it's just not possible. So what I thought was, I'll check this official stats from the government, and what actually happened was, when they were building the power station from 2000 to 2004, there was a drop in emissions just from electricity. That fell by three quarters just from electricity. And the reason was because the power station was switched off, they were importing a load from across.
Right.
Like, most of it was coming from across. And it doesn't get counted on our books, it gets counted on their books. Because they burn the gas there, you know, doesn't go in, you know, they burn the gas, we import the electric, it doesn't get counted towards our greenhouse gas emissions. Then in 2005, when they turned the power station back on again, or 2004, 2005, when they turned the power station back on again, it went back to the same as what it was before,
right,
give or take.
Okay. So, of course, they built the interconnector before the new power station, didn't they?
Yeah, they must have done. I can't remember the exact year. I think it was about 2000. I can't remember the exact year.
2002, I think, then the interconnector was put in from Blackpool.
Yeah, that was it. So that's what actually happened. I was thinking the only way that maybe he got confused was sometimes on the government graphs, they say energy when they mean electricity.
Right.
So they have a graph and it says such and such from energy, and it's actually what they mean is electricity. You know, they'll have energy, and then they'll have home heating, and then they'll have, like, transport, but all of them are kinds of energy. But they just... So that's maybe why he got confused.
How easy is it to find all these calculations?
Well, it took me about maybe 5 minutes, so I just Googled Isle of Man greenhouse gas emissions by year, put that in, and then a graph came up from, like, Inspector Curran. Do you remember Inspector Curran?
Oh, yeah, Professor Curran, yeah.
Yeah, Professor Curran, they got in from across. So he did a report, and that had it, and then that had a reference to the ESA report, which is, like, this international company who do this all day. That's their day job, is counting countries' greenhouse gas emissions. And so I looked at the ESA report, and that's where that came from. But even off the top of your head, you can go, well, it's, you know, it's not. Yeah, it doesn't make sense even off the top of your head. But if you look at the actual figures, then, yeah, the ESA report says it dropped about 20% when the power station was off, and then when they switched the new one on, it went back again.
What are we going to do in the future, Alice?
Ah, I thought you'd ask me questions like that. I just want to get my moral in. Just because somebody says something confidently doesn't mean it's true. Yeah, and it needs checking against a credible, you know, credible source and common sense. What are we going to do? Well, I would like to see us reduce our dependence on imported gas as much as possible, because then we won't be susceptible to, like, every time Putin decides to turn off the gas to Europe, it spikes the international gas price. You know what I mean? And then that has an effect on home bills, and that has an effect on the cost of living and the prices of goods in the shop. So I'd like to see us phase out the use of fossil fuels because of that and because of the climate. And I suppose I'm quite heartened that solar and wind around the world are racing ahead, like, really fast. Like, the energy transition is happening very rapidly. I would like to see whatever we do over here be designed to be, you know, as good for people as possible, like, bring down home bills and, you know, make economic sense and be good for people. That's what I'd like to see. And one thing is, like, why are there not more solar panels on government buildings? Like, you're driving around and there's always big south-facing government buildings.
It's, well,
like,
you're not the first person to raise that, whereas they seem to preach it to everybody else. They've got lots of buildings.
I don't know why. I mean, maybe there's some technical reason, but I can't think of it, because, like, across the solar, you know, is rolling out really fast. And it's like, I've seen this, one of my Facebook friends posted some graphic the other day, and it was, like, from a proper source, and they were just saying solar installation in China is, like, something like 95% of all new energy installations is solar and wind now. Join. And it's just, like, it's going, like, off the scale. It's, like, it's been going up, and now it's just going, boom, like, almost vertical off the graph, you know. So it's moving. Things are moving very fast.
Yeah. I mean, what about the fact, Alice, that we could, you know, bearing in mind that what's done on a global basis in terms of emissions, you know, we're just a kiss in the wind, really.
America uses that excuse, and they're massive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, per head of population, we're really high. We're, like, I don't know, about 10 tons of CO2, which is a lot more than the global average. So per head of population, we're really high, which is crazy when we've got all these renewable resources we aren't using.
Interesting. I mean, obviously, we've got wind farms, there's possibility of solar. What about new technologies? What about nuclear, anyway? That's very green.
Nuclear is very expensive. And the half-life... I had to write an essay about this for the Open University years ago. The half-life of some of these radioactive molecules, like uranium and plutonium they use, some of the isotopes, they've got a half-life of 100,000 years. Do you know what I mean? And then some of them, when they degrade into something even worse.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, who's going to look after them for hundreds of thousands of years? Who's going to pay for that? And it's nuclear is practically the most expensive form of energy. So why would you pay through the nose for something that's got so many issues when you've got... And also it takes, what, 10, 20 years to build a nuclear power station? I mean, maybe not one of these new modular ones, but it's hyped. It gets a lot of hype. Do you know what I mean? Nuclear gets a lot of hype. but it's very expensive and there's not actually many countries.
Well, and as you say, it's absolutely filthy to get rid of. But I mean, a country like France, I mean, France spent a fortune on nuclear 30, 40 years ago. So France runs on nuclear. Germany was in trouble, it was supplying a lot of Germany's electricity when they didn't have any gas.
Yeah. I noticed they put most of the nuclear power stations over in Brittany, though, because they don't want them near Paris. They always put them in some poor corner, don't they, like Cumbria,
Yeah, so we can see it. But remember, a lot of that was to do with weapons-grade plutonium. It wasn't just a nuclear power station.
Yeah, and it's a mess as well. It's like the worst thing that happens to a solar panel, it breaks or something. Do you know what I mean? And you know, there's toxicity, and there's the production has got a bit of toxicity. But then, it's like, I remember they put an advert a few years ago. They were trying to clean up some of the waste at Sellafield, and they put adverts in the local paper saying, "Can anyone remember what's in this pond? Because we've no idea what's in it. There's some kind of waste, and there's no idea what was in it. There's just been randomly chucking nuclear waste into."
They use the old PR technique, Alice. Change the name every 20 years. It started off as Calder Hall, then it was Windscale, and now it's Sellafield.
Nuclear, because it's a very expensive centralised industry, it gets a lot of money for PR.
Well, and at the bottom of this, Alice, at the bottom of everything is money. I mean, at the bottom of wind farms is money, but remember, we're the ones that use the darn electricity. So surely they should be doing it for the benefit of us rather than for the benefit of people making millions of pounds out of it. That wasn't the idea about electricity.
The thing is, okay, so electric in the UK has always been very centralised. So not to go on about Denmark, but I think Denmark is really interesting because, like, when they had the oil crisis in 73, Denmark and Sweden and them, they went, OK, we're not having this. We're not having our economy held hostage because of, like, somebody in the Gulf wants to turn off the oil taps because of politics. So they went, right, we're going to phase out oil as much as we can. And what's really cool about Denmark is that most of the wind, not so much recently, but also, like, the 80s and this, it was, I think about half of it, or maybe more, was community-owned. Like, there's loads of energy cooperatives.
Right.
So if you had a windmill in your village of whatever megawatt, you owned it, like the local council owned it, or it was a cooperative that people could buy into. And then it's just like every time you see it turning, you go, "Oh, that's earning me money, fantastic, that's cutting my energy bills." And I think that's the way to go, is have some kind of tangible benefit.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, Alice. Thanks for calling today.
No worries. Nice to chat. Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, yes. A very positive move, says Tony, by Manx Energy to bring back the customer service counter. Maybe government should consider bringing back their counter at the front entrance to government building. It's a good feeling to be able to speak to somebody face-to-face when you're looking for information or to get a problem solved. Government certainly would do themselves no harm by opening the public counter. And a note in from David saying, if Julian Watterson is chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, surely he should have been keeping an eye on our financial situation this for years if he was doing his job properly.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted. We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Tower Insurance has been insuring and serving the Isle of Man community since 1928 and has become a trusted partner for many on the island, being there for the community when they need us most. On the 6th of October, Tower Insurance takes on a new identity, Intact Insurance Isle of Man, part of the Intact Financial Corporation. As Intact Insurance Isle of Man, being part of a global insurer, we will continue to help Manx people, businesses and society prosper in good times and be resilient in bad times. If you would like to find out more, please contact us on 645 900.
Ever wonder, have you got what it takes to be a firefighter, part-time or full-time?
Come along to our Come and Try session, 25th of September, or female only session on the 23rd. And visit gov.im/jobs.
At EVF service stations, you can fuel yourself as well as your vehicle. Hot and cold food to go, chilled drinks, and even lottery tickets too. Great choice and value to make life more convenient. Fill up, fuel up with Ellen Van In Fuels. Visit us at evf.co.im. Stocks and offers may vary between locations.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Tony's with us now. Hi, Tony.
How are you doing, Andy?
Very well. What's the best thing about the Isle of Man as far as you're concerned, Tony?
The best thing?
Yeah.
I can give you lots of worst. I think the best thing is that people can say what they want pretty well over in the Isle of Man, whereas in other places you're not allowed to say anything. And the other thing that's really good about the Isle of Man is its safety. We have a very open society, but we're not being very well ruled. So that's a negative. But
okay.
the good thing is the countryside and everything else is beautiful.
Anyway, you
and
didn't call about that.
Got a long way. No, I didn't, but I'm happy to respond. What I called for was, I am very confused. Our brilliant Treasury Minister says we need to help all these people in departments to do a budget because they don't understand how to do one. And then the next second, we hear that four departments are short of money. So let me get this straight. They don't know how to do a budget. They can't add numbers up. But they can tell you when they're short of money. So where is... how does that work? You know, they don't bother adding anything up when it comes around to budgets?
I'm trying to work out, what's the difference between between overspending and being underfunded? Is there a difference?
Well, it depends on your point of view. What are they spending the money on would be in the budget, if they did a budget. So how can they say that they don't do a budget or they don't know how to do a budget when they can tell you exactly how much they're going to overspend by? Because if they're going to overspend, it means this is what I'm going to spend all my money on. So they've got that list, but apparently they don't plan it and the Treasury doesn't ask them what it is. So it's just basically incompetence. So if all these people in these departments can't make a budget, why have we employed them? Why have they been put into position? I mean, it just doesn't bear thinking about. If you ran your finances the way the government runs it, and I'm talking about all the departments as well here, you'd be broke, which is what we are. And it's not the right way of doing things. So how can all the people in the Isle of Man manage to do this, and yet the departments can't?
Is COVID anything to do with this? I mean, COVID threw a big brick into the puddle, so all the ripples. We didn't know how much it was going to cost, and we spent money on it.
Right, I don't have a problem with spending money on times of urgency. That's fine, but COVID's gone, been and gone, and we've moved on. And yet we still continue to throw money at things. Like, I'll give you another example, the Peggy. Oh, let's build a world-class site. Why? It just needs a warehouse with some pictures. And if you really have to stick the masks up, stick the masks up. What is so difficult with this? But the people in the departments want to be important globally. And we're not important globally in any way, shape or form. So why don't we just stick to what we're good at, and that is not waste money, because that's what most of people in the country have to live with. We don't waste money on things. We carefully think about what we're spending for Christmas so we can afford to buy food to put on the table. But our departments don't seem to have the same remit. And to say that they need training is just asinine, absolutely asinine. And especially for a Treasury Minister to say that, it just beggars belief that he thinks that's the case. They can't add up, so therefore they need help to learn how to add up. I mean, it's not very hard to do a balanced budget, it really isn't. Because they obviously know what they're going to spend their money on, because they're telling you how much they're short. And if they did a balanced budget and did priorities on that balanced budget, then you'd have a way of saying, right, we're going to stop there. All these are nice to have, all these are must-haves. And that's the difference between getting your money and not getting your money. But what they do is they'll carry on with all the nice-to-haves, spend the money, and then say, oh, we haven't got enough money. I just, what are we doing? I mean, honestly, as a society, what are we doing?
All right. Tony, yep. We appreciate it. All right. Go on and get
we'll
a walk.
Think
have,
about it.
Have a
Take
walk
care.
In the countryside.
Well, I do try and do that. And I actually often walk down by the seaside. Okay. That's what I do.
Thanks, Tony.
All the best. Take care, Andy.
All right. Bye. That's it now. How's everyone getting on reading the offshore wind farm consultation documents? The technical annexes state that the construction will result in 22 million cubic metres of seabed sediment being disturbed and redeposited. That's 11,000 Olympic swimming pools, but the impact on marine wildlife will be minor and non-significant, says Jay. Can somebody work that out? Thanks to Howie on the phones. Back tomorrow. WINT